See, I hear me, and let's see.
Okay.
See if I think I hear you too.
All right.
Okay. Well, if it's okay to get started, Kevin Gaither.
Yes.
And maybe you can start telling me a little bit about yourself, what you want the voters to know from the start about you.
Okay, I grew up in the 15th District in Sullivan, and, you know, back then I actually, you know, worked five jobs. One of them was weeding beans, when there used to be beans, weeds in the beans. And, you know, I've taught piano, played pipe organ in two different churches, you know, did all sorts of things like that. I left there and went to Rose Hallman and graduated with a BS in chemistry, fought for people there that really couldn't stand up for themselves. And with some success, one of the groups I founded at Rose Hallman is now one of the largest on campus, really helped to change the direction of the culture there. After that, went to Indianapolis and worked with the AmeriCorps, you know, fighting for prevention and education in inner city schools. Sat on federally mandated boards to help guide the State Department of Health to manage federal dollars and to provide health care choices, comprehensive coverage for the most vulnerable Hoosiers.
And you're in Charleston now. What are you doing right now?
I own my own tutoring business. I've done that for 5 years.
So tutoring business, who do you tutor?
I've had one main student for 5 years, but I have people come in and out. I tutor just about anything, for usually middle school and high school students and occasionally some college kids. Yeah. Also, in Charleston, I'm a precinct committeeman in the Democratic Party, web admin for them as well. Yeah.
And what inspired you to run for Congress, especially as a Democrat in what's usually seen as a reliably Republican district?
Yes. When I came back to my hometown first and then to Charleston, I just saw the same kind of parallels as I did in the inner city in Indianapolis. Just the economic kind of stagnation. And if the farther south you go, it's devastation, really. I see these kinds of problems that, and for me, when I see a problem, I have to get to work. And so that's why I got involved with the Coles County Democratic Party. That's why I, you know, that's why I get involved in politics to begin with, because that's how we can affect change. I had a couple of things happen when I was the programs in healthcare that I helped protect and strengthen in Indiana. When I left, Governor Pence took over. And when he did, he gutted the programs, created an HIV outbreak in southern Indiana, and people I actually know died over there because of that. I also had friends were murdered in Indianapolis. And I thought when I came back here, I wouldn't have to deal with some of that. But in my hometown, a friend of mine was murdered, had to testify in her murder trial. And I just saw that the system just doesn't protect people.
Excuse me. Let me shut this thing off. I thought I was turning this thing off.
It happens.
It doesn't think so. There. Now it's off. I'm sorry if you want to backtrack a little bit there. I'm sorry for the phone to interrupt.
But that's okay. You know, so I had friends murdered in Indianapolis.
And they were murdered, you know, in a particular... For a particular reason?
Most of them are, you know, they're never found who did it, so it's hard to know. It's tell you, violence is everywhere. I kind of left the city because I just didn't want to deal with a lot of that. I do have a touch of post-traumatic stress disorder. And so that's why mental health treatment is so important to get right. And in the 15th district, access to mental health treatment is pretty poor. But when I came back to my hometown, you know, a friend of mine was murdered there as well, in a town of 4,500 people. It was the first murder in since I was born.
That was in Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I ended up having to testify in that murder trial and help to put the guy away for 75 years.
So now you're in Charleston and you're running for Congress as a Democrat in a pretty Republican district. What do you think is different this year that that would make a Democrat a viable candidate in the 15th?
Well, it's pretty simple. I think both parties haven't done anything for us in the 15th district and certainly in rural America. One party likes to divide us. The other party really hasn't fought for us down here. And I think that's a problem. You know, I'm the kind of Democrat that stands for fighting for people, you know, being relentless until we get the job done. And I just don't see that either party has been doing that in a successful way, that we see results on the kitchen table.
So there are certain things in particular that you would fight for that you see as important for the 15th?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need better jobs. We need better pay. We need better health care, especially access to health care and certain specialties. I see a lack of access across the district. You see education is a huge problem. Being a tutor, I see the real inherent problems in these high school students that are going to be graduating, and we need to be doing so much better. If we don't get early education right, we're just wasting money down the road because, if they don't get those skills early on, they can't absorb new information and experiences as they grow up.
Now, one of the issues I was looking at in this election year, Republicans passed a tax reform bill in December. They consider that one of their major achievements. What are your thoughts about it? Would you have sought something else?
Well, I mean, I would have done something totally different. I think it's great that workers get a tax cut. Unfortunately, it'll be a tax increase in about 8 to 10 years. I would have also anything for small businesses. Tax breaks is a great thing. The 14% permanent tax cuts for corporations is a huge mistake, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it blows a huge hole in deficits and debts for the long term. There are no guarantees for workers, no guarantees for keeping American jobs here, no guarantees for anything. We also don't get we don't get that money back from overseas. These are the problems I see. Basically, what it is a huge, it's like a hope and dream that somehow all of these companies across the entire country are going to do the right thing. We need better stewards of the economy and our money than currently the Republican Party, which seems to have lost its mind. They used to be about fiscal conservatism, and they have, once again shown us that they don't believe in that.
What are your concerns and what are your priorities for the 15th district in terms of agriculture, especially with negotiations on the farm bill underway right now?
Yes, corn and soybean prices are dropping, so are yields. We need to be thinking outside the box. We could be really revolutionizing our agriculture economy. One of the biggest things that is really coming up, especially in Kentucky, is industrializing hemp. It's a huge opportunity, 3,000 an acre in some places. You get three crops every season. There are 25,000 products made from hemp. And that's not weed. It's a sister of it. But there are, some of it's pharmaceutical grade. You can combine that with some local products like honey. They're doing that out in Colorado. And these things are like pain products. Like pain relief for things like pets and people. And they're selling this all over the country and the world. We could become that kind of economic hub here and really change the dynamic of the entire state by becoming a new place where we grow the product, we make the products here, and then we export them to states and around the world. It's a, you know, at least $100+ billion a year industry, and we're we could be putting people back to work and making so much more revenue for our governments, for our people, and it's a win-win.
So what would be done in the congressional level to make that sort of growth possible?
Yeah, there's a bill that was introduced a couple years ago, the Industrial Hemp Act, I believe it was called. We could pass that pretty easily.
I wanted to ask you about the Affordable Care Act, which is still the law despite the ending of the individual health care mandates. Are there ways that you want to work on that law or improve it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Affordable Care Act, you know, gets a lot of abuse, and certainly it was not perfect. There's a lot wrong. There's a lot of ways to fix it. It didn't do anything to stop the drivers of the costs of health care. What we needed to do is, you know, allow ourselves to negotiate for prices on prescription drugs, allow us to get them overseas, and give people more choices. The whole point of it was to give people more options. And instead, what happened is it was not a government takeover of healthcare. It was a health insurance industry takeover of healthcare. We can fix those problems. We can move ourselves forward. But in the 15th district, it comes back to access to healthcare options and providers, because a lot of these places, they don't have neurologists or psychiatrists. They lack essential services, so they have to travel hundreds of miles sometimes. And a lot of people don't have vehicles, don't have the capacity, the finances to travel that far.
So when you're talking about a lack of medical services in parts of the district, what can you do in Congress to work on that problem?
Well, there's a lot of what we can do. You can increase grants and scholarships for people going into those fields. You can increase the money going into higher education for those specific programs, so that those they can hire more faculty, more staff, and they can increase the size of those fields, especially like with counseling, social work, things like that for mental health treatment, especially with heroin and opioid epidemics.
What are your thoughts on calls from some sectors for a single-payer healthcare system or a public option that would allow people to buy into Medicare or Medicaid?
Well, we absolutely can move towards that direction. I think in areas where there is only one option for people to buy, we have to provide an incentive for competition. Doesn't actually do anything about the access problem, which in rural America is the biggest issue.
As we speak, the political parties in Congress are at odds over immigration, with disagreements over everything from the DACA program to the president's call for a border wall. What do you want to see? What would you work for as a congressman as far as the nation's immigration policy is concerned?
Oh, yeah. Immigration's a big hot button. It's very emotional for people, and I understand that. We have to be sensible about it, because we have high deficits and high debt. You know, building a wall, spending, you know, $20+ billion on it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But what we do have are, you know, 1 million kids that were brought here by no fault of their own. They're paying taxes. Many of them are working. Some of them are business owners. They're invested in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And we can't just deport them. And we have to have a sensible policy that acknowledges reality, and also connects to our American tradition, which is we are an immigrant nation, this kind of divisive, anti-foreign, anti-immigrant kind of dynamic that has been set up in the last year and a half has to be broken, because these are real people, and they're here for a reason, and we have to deal with it in a humane, moral way.
And how do we do that on the federal level? What do you see Democrats working for effectively as far as immigration?
Yes. One of the things I think we all agree on is the Dreamers. I see a large consensus in the country, so we can pass that. We also need to work on modernizing the immigration system overall. You know, the fact that we don't even know when somebody overstays their visa is a real problem. That it could be a security threat. So there are some real things where we can work on border security and other security issues where I think we can find some common ground and work towards consensus and get something done.
Do you see funding for a border wall as part of a possible compromise that would also include continuation of the DACA program?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you have to give something to get what you really need, and if that's necessary to you know, create opportunities for, you know, a million children, we have to do it.
And that might be a difference in direction than what Democrats are saying right now, as we speak on the 7th of February. Democrats in Congress seem to be pretty adamant against any funding for a border wall.
Yes, you know, and this is the thing. It's like we get into these binary fights. You know, you're either for or against everything. And what's been missing in Congress is the middle ground. And when that middle of the electorate, the middle of moderation, I should say, when moderation eroded, so did the middle class. And until we start working together again, both as parties and as people in our communities, we're going to continue to lose. Main Street is going to continue to lose, and we have to do better than that.
In talking with voters as part of your campaign, are you seeing particular issues and interests come up that you want to work on if you're elected to Congress?
Oh, yeah. One of the big things is creating new opportunities in each one of these communities because, you know, the farther south you go, the worse it gets, the economy for sure. The infrastructure is terrible in so many of these communities. I mean, right here in Champaign County, the roads are pretty terrible. You know, some of these bridges you drive on. I mean, there's holes in the bridge. That's a huge opportunity, putting people back to work. That will take years to fix all of the ailing problems. Those are huge opportunities. The hemp industrialization could really take us and really rebuild a good chunk of our economy, put a whole bunch of people back to work, and generate so much money for entrepreneurs, investors, and for workers.
Okay. Kevin Gaither, thank you very much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.